Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And we are going to do a first-time topic on today's Astrology Hour. It's called Transcendental Astrology. So those of you that are into transcendental meditation may have heard about transcendental techniques in metaphysics and astrology, but today we're going to talk about some of the higher realms of astrological awareness and how meditation plays a critical role as far as understanding and learning. A lot of people make the mistake of listening to the Astrology Hour and that's it. They don't buy suggested reading and they don't take up meditation, which is an active part of plugging into your intuitive mind and your higher self, where an incredible bank of sacred knowledge lies that your soul uses to incarnate and to dwell during this life cycle in the earth plane. So today I'm going to do the best I can to try to help you plug into that sacred bank of knowledge that we all have in our higher selves and a window to our intuitive mind in today's topic called Transcendental Astrology. I really do feel that the best astrologers, if not the better astrologers, are those people who have lived the lifestyle, sort of walk the walk and talk the talk, really trying hard to keep their chakras clear and their auras clear of any entities or negative interference or negative input, negative lifestyle, people who might cut down on the red meat and some of the sugar and the salt, the caffeine, the nicotine, and people that would allow themselves to serve as channels. One of the things I have found out about astrology is that it does really work much better for you when you can claim or at least attempt to be that much more of a spiritual or a psychic being. In fact, as long as I've been studying astrology, I have definitely been becoming a lot more psychic and intuitive than when I first started this. Now, let's talk about this topic today, which is on transcendental astrology. This is a first-time attempt for me here on KFOX to do this topic because a lot of people that study astrology really are not aware of this area of thought that does exist. Meaning that some of your better astrologers are people that do not consult computers, people that do not consult charts, and people that do not really consult aspects in the chart. They have such an incredible awareness. They have reached a high state of evolution where we have what is called the frozen, actually, let's call it the fluid or the mobile ephemeris in the brain. Now, I don't know how this develops. But frankly, after years of study and research and following the planets, eventually you kind of get the cycle or the rhythm of where the planets go. And except for the fact that I personally need to consult the ephemeris every day to get exact location, I have a pretty good idea where the planets are at any given moment, including the rising and the moon. And that is all part and parcel to becoming transcendental astrological as far as I'm concerned. Transcendental astrologically speaking, by definition, is what we call a right brain astrologer, or somebody who knows the talk and knows the walk of astrology, has learned all the basics, has maybe listened to this show and followed loyally the topics and the lessons that I have taught, have read the suggested reading and taken the classes, and basically has reached a point in their growth astrologically where they are ready to go into something more than just what they hear or read or think or write. Because as far as I'm concerned, I would not be here, nor would I have had astrology validated for me without meditation. Because many things happen to the individual during meditation, a lot of biochemical changes, a lot of psychic and spiritual changes, where the chakras are opened and you become more aware of them, more in control of them. You become more aware of your right and left brain thinking. The fact that left brain thinking is more material world and more third dimensional, more conscious intellectual mind, and the right brain thinking is more intuitive, upper realm consciousness, higher self, God self, and psychic mind. And frankly, when you meditate, if you do it right, you should normally go from your left brain to your right brain as you shift into alpha and perhaps theta in your brainwave patterns. And I would have to say that besides the classes and the books that I have read, and the teachers and the masters that I have known, I have learned more about astrology in trance, in meditation, and when I've been in my right brain than in any other source. And a lot of people, if you are a strong Gemini character, our strong third house, then you are going to be a very inquisitive being. That you're going to be the type of person that will ask a lot of questions. And no offense, and no offense intended here, for those of you that have heavy Gemini factor in your chart, and that includes an afflicted Mercury. I have a moon square Mercury, so I've come from a place when I was younger and before I became more right brain, where I asked too many questions and I talked too much and said the wrong things. So the point of fact here is that if you are too much left brain when it comes to astrology, metaphysics, and psychic and spiritual awareness, what I have found to be the fact is that you cloud your mind with so many questions that you don't allow your right brain to take over and open up the realm of higher knowing to give you the answers through meditation, through prayer, or through resting, or calming, or centering oneself. See? So while you're also busy thinking and wondering, if you do have a lot of questions about astrology, perhaps you might try to take up meditation, whether it's TM. You will learn that when you go into meditation, if you make a few post-hypnotic suggestions to yourself before you go in about some specifics in astrology, that you might receive what we call a validation of what you're asking, or confirmation of a particular quest. Now, what I learned when I went into my meditation as far as some of the higher knowing of transcendental astrology is the oneness that we all share, the messianic properties that we all share, and the fact that even though we are all one with God, one with the universe, and basically a reflection of the same inner knowing or the same inner being, the roles that we play and the experiences that we live are unique. They are set apart, they are separate, and astrological information is the way we design this separation and this part of us that sets us apart from the oneness that we share. There's an interesting symbolism that goes along with living life on Earth. And that is that even though astrologically, when we look in the charts, we do find uniqueness, I want you to remember and become aware in your mind's eye that we still live on Earth and we are still absorbing the energy from the entire universe. And that universe is the symbolism of the oneness that we all share. Remember, I talked about all last week how we are all 12 signs, really, but we're just different interpretations of the 12 signs depending on where they lie in our chart and what planets might lie in them. But when you rise up above it all, and when you plug into transcendental astrology, you will become almost frighteningly aware that most of us deal with the same problems. And most of us deal with the same karma, and most of us have basically the same spiritual mission. The way it is interpreted, in other words, where you're coming from as far as the timing as to when you will learn about these specific problems, and as far as situations, environment, and family that might crop up in your life that where you will also deal with these specific problems, that's where the individual is defined. But in a human point of view, for human's sake, for humanity's destiny, we basically all deal with very similar problems. This issue of self-love and self-esteem, this issue of money versus power and spirit, this issue of being communicative or mentally stable, residence situations, creativity and family, health and work, marriage and partners, sex life and inheritances, philosophy and travel, career, goals and friends, and also spirit, self, and enemies. Those are the 12 houses of life that I just went through. These are all issues that we all deal with sometime during our life. And this, again, is where the oneness is defined. Now, in transcendental astrology, and a lot of people say, well, Farley, why don't you write a book on transcendental astrology? This is not something you can teach people. I mean, maybe one day I might consider writing a book on it. But the fact is that you can learn that much more, and you can learn that much easier about astrology and metaphysics and psychic and spiritual awareness and the messianic self and the oneness of God and the God self and all these principles by taking up meditation and using it as a major supplement to your learning and to your knowledge. Somebody once asked me, they said, Farley, why is it you teach astrology? Well, it's because I am aware of the basic concept in this dimension of letting go, of having to deal with situations and then allowing them to pass by and you accepting them passing, all right? And I'm also dealing with a major thing in my life right now that suddenly on Earth, many of us, especially in America, have this incredible material abundance. Like you take the Nintendo games, for example. If you took a Nintendo system back in the 50s, the 60s, or even the early 70s, are you aware of how many minds you would be blowing by bringing arcade-style games that cost thousands back then into a home television set? We have gone so far and so fast with technology that our children are playing games in the late 80s here that would dwarf anything that was designed in the 60s or 70s, and we take this stuff for granted. And people complain and go, well, the Nintendo's $99 and the programs are all 50 bucks each. But to buy a game like this back in the 50s or 60s or early 70s, it would have cost you thousands. And people seem to forget this. Well, what happens is we are literally being spoiled. We are literally being spoiled by technology and by abundance and by food and by drinks and by travel and by all these things that are sort of putting us into a trance-like state and allowing us to believe that we are safe, we are secure, we are protected. But it's a little frightening to me because becoming aware, and somebody asked me, Farley, when does Uranus and Neptune become conjunct? Because I am afraid that there's going to be a world change of some kind, for better or for worse, which will either remove all this abundance, or just like the basic concept of life on Earth in the 20th century has been, all things must pass, and the basic lesson here is learning to let go. So I choose to teach people philosophies of the spirit for that very reason. Because in case we are in a situation one day where we don't have any car, we don't have planes, we don't have trains, no telephone, no radio, no television, no Nintendo, no movies to go to, the only entertainment and nourishment and in quest for power and survival may be the spirit. It might be the transcendental part of the soul. Frankly, if I didn't have any food or drink, or if I didn't have any clothing or any shelter, and if I knew how to meditate and center myself at the center of the universe in a spiritual vortex and plugged into the transcendental part of my soul, if I didn't have charts and computers anymore, or at least I can look up and have some ideas to where the planets were in my mind's eye, plugged into that transcendental astrological consciousness, this would have to serve to be some salvation for me, because I have learned how to fast on water. I can live without food if I have to for 7 days. I've done it. I've lived on water only, and I was fine. I didn't die. And a lot of people are under the opinion that if they don't have food in a day or two, they will die. And they would die if that's what their mindset was. See, so many times I'm not being a doomsday prophet or saying that civilization will be destroyed or wrecked or that everything we do now have will be removed. But the truth of the matter is that the grand conjunction of Uranus and Neptune, which doesn't happen for hundreds of years, is going to occur, and we're going to start to feel its impact in 1992. Focus on 1993, right around New Year's Day, 1993, when Uranus is 18 Capricorn, and Neptune is 18 Capricorn, and they'll be in conjunct my Sun in Leo at that point when that happens, so I'm sure to be having a transit on that day. And then that conjunction continues all through 93, all through 94, and much of 1995. Now, you got to believe that life on Earth as we know it is probably going to go through a radical transformation during this conjunction of Uranus and Neptune. Neptune representing the spirit of man, Uranus representing institutions and also the grand awakening or enlightenment are the shock factor. And in Capricorn, a sign which rules institutions, logic, and practicality, when you have the lords of Aquarius and Pisces, Uranus and Neptune, together in Capricorn, you better believe that the Earth may go through a radical shift, starting in 1991, 92, 93, 94, 95, a four-year effect, which frankly could leave the world as we know it with a very different face and a lot less people also. So, makes you wonder, who will be president in 1992? Will it be Bush? Will it be Quayle? Will it be whoever? It would definitely be a major, major attempt or feat or mission during that period. So that is why when you look back in history and you remember this little radio show in Southern California in the late 80s and early 90s that talked a lot about spiritual awareness and psychic revelations and transcendental astrology and transcendental meditation and such as that, remember, if you don't remember anything else, remember that what I am doing is I am trying to instill in you a power and a nourishment, a nurturing of a way for you to control and absorb energy and plug into a very powerful part of yourself. So in case you ever did have to let go of everything you knew and loved, you would still be able to survive with the knowledge and carry on with it. That is really the purpose of my being and my existence. A lot of people say, well, Farley, don't you have hope that we can turn this all around? Don't you have hope that we can pray and meditate and manifest awesome changes? And I say, sure, I can definitely hope we can do that. I have faith there. But in effect, if you take a look at some of the things that went on through history, when Harry Truman dropped the A-bomb on Japan, and when the United States chose not to confront Russia after World War II, I really think we really made our stand at that point where we decided we were going to allow an evil type, a negative and a very frightening type of technology to exist on this planet that could one day threaten its livelihood. So as far as the war between good and evil is concerned, I think evil kind of dominated in the 40s and 50s, and for that reason it's very important that good does the best it can to preserve the knowledge, preserve the power, preserve the light, and carry on with it no matter what would happen. Of course, if certain countries on this planet suddenly disappeared overnight and we had overnight disarmament, sure, then I believe meditations and affirmations and prayer and all these world quests, these joining of the hands would work. And I do have that type of hope, but at the same time, besides being an astrologer and a spiritualist and someone that meditates and prays, I'm also a survivalist. You know, that goes along with it. That's right. Learning how to live off of the berries and roots and grasses and such, and learning how to take care of yourself and preserve the spirit within, whether something negative or something reactionary or radical happens to the planet when the Uranus-Neptune conjunction occurs in 92, 93, and 94, it makes no difference. It is still important that we embrace the spirit, that we preserve the knowledge and the power, that we plug into the right side of the brain, the intuitive mind, the higher self, and astrology is merely a catalyst that we use. It's literally like an anchor that we have to the intuitive mind and the higher self that allows us to channel this energy and free flow with it into higher awareness and higher levels of consciousness and more levels of awakening so we can become more aware of what is going on to this planet. I really do feel that Earth will be going through many land changes, and it will be going through many political changes, and that we might see a change as far as how we use technology on this planet. And I really also feel that religion as we know it, government as we know it, education as we know it, and all accepted institutions on this planet will be radically erased and changed. And I also feel that along the lines of this grand conjunction, Pluto will be getting ready to enter Sagittarius in late 94, 95, thereabouts, around those years. And during the Uranus-Neptune conjunction, actually Pluto will go into Sagittarius in 95, but during the Uranus-Neptune conjunction, Pluto will still be in Scorpio. And unfortunately, I feel that the Geneva Convention has been breached and that very many of our nations, including the United States, are actively involved in biochemical and germ warfares, which will antiquate nuclear war and which also endangers our lifestyles, our livelihoods, and the children, and all the animals and living creatures on this planet. The fact that we allow companies to take nuclear waste and try to remove bacteria from the food that we eat, and this is an unpublished process. I'd like to have a list. I'd like to buy a Geiger counter to find out which of these companies is using nuclear waste. A lot of them are, to try to preserve the food and protect it from bacteria and such. Meanwhile, it's poisoning and killing us and creating cancer in us, right? And this is the type of thing that goes, I saw Timothy Bottoms talking about that during the Kings game on Saturday night. He came on and he talked. I said, whoa, you're kidding. I've heard rumors of that, but it hasn't been publicized that much. But that's Pluto and Scorpio. Pluto and Scorpio is issues of life and death. And because we are still feeling the effects of the age of Pisces on this planet, there is a veil that covers our consciousness, and if you've ever been in a situation where you are shocked when you learn the truth and reality about your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or a family situation or whatever, that's pretty much what the Piscean effect is. You live in a veil, in a fog, and things are being done to you and your food and your children and your home and your country or whatever, you know nothing about it. You know, there's a big cover-up on this planet, and that is from the Neptune transit in Capricorn. A lot of illusion and delusion and deception concerning governments and procedures and education and such. So we start at the individual. We start back at the individual to try to restore the truth, to try to lift the veil, to try to increase the clarity, and we focus on the spirit. No longer do we want to teach people about power beyond the individual. We don't want to look for a messiah or a savior outside of the self. What we want to do is we want to try to look within to the God center within ourselves, restore the power and the savior and the messianic principles within the individual, men and women alike. We want to use things like transcendental meditation, focus on transcendental astrology, where the sacred spiritual, metaphysical, and astrological knowledge lies in the higher self, in the God self, in the intuitive mind, because our soul uses these metaphysical elements to help us incarnate when we live, and to help us plan out our destiny and our karma, and to help plan out the end of life, too, when we go discarnate and beyond this realm and dimension. So, you know, when I do these topics, and a lot of you record these topics or type them out or save them for posterity or whatever, and it's an interesting philosophy to do that because you do have information that could come in handy one day in case any of these things I'm ever talking about somehow seem to ring true and I'm not around to call on the phone. I'm offering a way to you to plug into this higher part of yourself, because did you know that once you go beyond sun sign astrology, once you go beyond it, and once you reach a point in your growth, in your soul growth, where finally you are able to handle the information about the science of astrology, when you can finally absorb and embrace the planets, where you finally want to know about your rising sign, and then all of a sudden one day, it's like a light bulb clicked in your head and said, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to know about it now. Isn't it funny how the window to the higher self and the intuitive mind opens gradually, just like some of the chakras do. And as it does, it allows this knowledge and this power and this information to squeak through. And thanks to Warner Brothers for letting us use the music from Erasure, Chains of Love, and Stop. Wonderful. One of my favorite groups, of course.